All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Dalet. Hopefully you did your homework. We are picking up from Lamed Dalet, Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top. Itmar. So the Gemara brings out a very interesting case. Itmar lul pasuach min abayis la'aliyah. So this is actually an interesting case, where essentially you have a stairway from a lower story to an upper story. So that's the lul. Lul pasuach min abayis la'aliyah. You have a stairway that opens up from a bottom story to an upper story. Rav Huna says as follows: Im yesh lo pesach echad chayiv b'mezuzah. If there's only one doorway, so sometimes the way this would work is there would be a doorway that extends, the stairway would extend from the lower story to the upper story, and sometimes the person in the lower story would enclose the staircase. In which case, again, there was an entranceway from the lower, there was a door to the staircase from the lower story to the upper story. But the staircase actually opened up in the floor of the upper story. So in a case like that, there's only one doorway. The mezuzah goes by the doorway on the lower story. On the other hand, sometimes the upper story would also create a doorway or a vestibule for the stairway, in which case, again, there would be an obligation to place a mezuzah by the doorway of the upper story as well. So that's what it says. But if there are two doorways which are created, one for the upper story, one for the lower story, then chayiv b'shtei mezuzos. Then ultimately, again, you would be chayiv in two mezuzos. Good. Amar Rav Papa, shma mina amid Rav Huna. So you can learn out something very interesting from Rav Huna, which is, hay in deruna de isle arba bavi. What they say in deruna literally means like a room or a chamber that has four entrances. Chayiv ba'arba mezuzos is chayiv in four mezuzos. The Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Obviously, if it has four doorways, it's chayv in four mezuzos. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzvicha, af agav deragil b'charabos. So that's something we learned yesterday. The novelty in that ruling is, there are four entrances, but you really only commonly use one. So I might have thought that where I'm commonly using one, even though there are four that exist, I'm only chayv in one mezuzah. Kamash Malan, no. Ideally, you put the mezuzah on every entrance, on every doorway, even if it's not the commonly used doorway. Amar Amemar, Hai Pischa da Akarno, Chayiv b'mezuzah. Both another very interesting case. Amemar said, if you have an entranceway that is at a corner of a room or of a home, both said, now the way this works is as follows. If you can imagine, under normal circumstances, when we speak about a doorway, we assume that a doorway is in the middle of a wall. Although we'll talk about today when the doorway is at the corners of a wall. In this case, the entranceway essentially is at one of the corners. So if you can imagine, if you have, let's say, a room that you enter into, and you go ahead and you take out the corner of that room, or that home, and you put the entranceway in the corner, like that. So it's not, the door is not sitting in the middle of a wall, one of the sides, but rather the entranceway ultimately, again, is at the corner. So what's the halacha? Chayiv mezuzah. You have to put a mezuzah there. Amalei Rav Ashi Leimein, Vaha, Lesley Ptzimin. But one second, there are no side posts. There are no side posts. Amalei Adi Ptzimin. He says, yes, there are side posts. Rashi says, Adi, Hari Kilomar, Elu Rashi Aksalam Hina Ptzimin. Ultimately, again, the sides of the wall which exist are considered to be the side posts for the doorway. Rav Papa ikla lebe Mar Shmuel. So Rav Papa went to the house of Mar Shmuel. Chaza hau pischa to lo havelei ela patsim echa bismala va'avida le mezuzah. So he said that Mar Shmuel had a doorway, I will say, which was up against towards the end of one of the walls, so that there were no side posts on the right side. There were only side posts on the left side. Yet, va'avida le mezuzah. Yet Mar Shmuel made a mezuzah for that doorway. Amar le kiman. So he says, in accordance with whose opinion are you constructing the mezuzah? Kirabi Meir. Ultimately, again, like Rabbi Meir, to which the Gemara says, "Imad Rabbi Meir miyamin." When did Rabbi Meir say that you need a mezuzah? That's only when there is what? When there is p'tzimi, when there's a doorpost on the right side. Mismal mi amar. Did Rabbi Meir say that when the only real doorpost that exists is on the left side, that you would also be chayv to make a mezuzah? So the Gemara says, "Mahi." Which opinion of Rabbi Meir are we referring to over here? The Sanya, the Gemara says, Beischa. So remember again, the Pasuk says, Beischa. Ksaftim al mezuzos Beischa. So the Gemara makes a little bit of a play on words. Bi'ascha min hayyamin. The Rabbi will say, when ultimately, again, are you chayv in mezuzah? when there is an entryway on the right side. You say the entrance has to be on the right side, but maybe it's on the left side as well. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Beisecha, your home, my Talmud." So we'll say again, what is the drasha? Amarabba, derech bi'ascha min hayamin. The way a person comes in, ultimately again, is through the right. Dechi akar inish karei diyamina akar. When a person walks, he often uproots his right foot first. So that when you walk into your home, you're going to be walking in, the Gemara assumes, with your right foot first. Therefore, the right has dominance when it comes to mezuzah. Rav Shua bar Acha kamed rapak mishmei derava bar ula amar mehacha. He says it from here. Vayikach Yehoyada kohen Aron echad. Yehoyada kohen, who was the kohen gadol, took a box in Aron echad. Vayikov char bedalto. He made a hole in the opening of the box. Vayitin also etzal hamizbeach miyamin. And he put the box, which was the collection box actually, by the right of the mizbeach. Etzal hamizbeach, on the right side of the mizbeach. Bevo ish beis Hashem. This way, when anyone would come into the house of Hashem, v'nasnu shama kohanim shomer esaf es kol hakesef amuva beis Hashem. That's how they would put all of the donations. So as I said, the point that they're making over here is that when entering into an area, so people often gravitate towards the right. That's why, again, Chazal, when darshaning, where to place the mezuzah, made a play on words. Beisecha, you have to place the mezuzah in your home, but where in your home? Bi'ascha, in the way ultimately again that you enter. Which way do we assume entry normally occurs? With a dominance on the right. So the Gemara says, my Rabbi Meir, but what is the sheet of Rabbi Meir that we discussed before? Tisanyo, bayis she'in lo ela patsim echad. Well, this is actually interesting. What happens if a home only has one doorpost? Now, I will say, now, what the Gemara understands by this is as follows. This is best illustrated in a home, or in a room for that matter, where the doorway is not in the center of a wall, but rather the doorway is at a corner. If the doorway is at a corner, essentially, the halacha says we view it as if there's one doorpost. So for example, if you're looking at a home and the entranceway is on the rightmost side of the entry wall, so we'll say the right side doesn't really have a doorpost. The doorpost is really on the left side. So the Gemara says, "Meir designer by Shein lo ela patzim echad, a home that has only one side post." Rabbi Meir mechayev in mezuzah. Rabbi Meir says that you're still chayev in a mezuzah. The chum poachin. The chum say that you're potter. But say first wide line, lamed dalid amud aleph. My time is rabbanon. What's the reason why the rabbanon go ahead and patter and exempt a home which only has one? What's the reason for the chachamim who say that ultimately again such a home is pater, to which the Gemara says, mezuzos ksiv, because of also the pasuk says mezuzos, which means what? Door posts, plural. So in order to be chayv in mezuzah, there has to be two significant door posts. My time with Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's logic? The sanyo, mezuzos, shamea ani miyot mezuzos shtayim. Shamea says like this. I would have thought that mezuzos, right, door posts, plural, is a minimum of two door posts. Two doorposts. Kishu omer mezuzos b'parsha shnia. But yet then it repeats the word mezuzos, right? In the second parsha of mezuzah. Shein tamud lomar. And it was unnecessary to say this. You didn't have to say mezuzos twice. Havi riboy achariboy. We'll say this is what's an exegetical principle known as riboy achariboy. Riboy achariboy means that the Torah will sometimes go ahead and say two inclusive phrases. Now, I don't need both of those inclusive phrases. Why does it make it riboy achar riboy? Vein riboy achar riboy el lamait. And ultimately, you know, both say the way exegetically it works is that you have a riboy achar riboy, an inclusive phrase after an inclusive phrase, actually comes to exclude or to limit something. Miato akasof lemezuzah achos. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, therefore, the Torah is coming to say what? The Torah is coming to teach me a riboy achar riboy, mezuzos achar mezuzos, both plural, teaches me that what? Amazingly enough, I only need one doorpost in order for the doorway to be chayiv for mezuzah. These are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva says, Eino tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says it's not necessary. Why? Kishu omer al hamashkov va'al shtei hamezuzos. The pasuk says that you shall place it Well, say this is actually talking about the blood of the Karban Pesach. But the Gemara Darshan is over here, you're supposed to place it on the Mashkof. The Mashkof is the lintel, right? That is the part of the doorway that extends across the top. V'ashtei mezuzos, and on the two doorposts. She'ein tamid lomar shtei. They're both saying, interestingly enough, the Torah doesn't have to say that you should place the blood on the two doorposts. Why not? Because mezuzos by itself, in an unqualified way, would have automatically meant what? Two. Because mezuzos, mezuzah is singular. Mezuzos is plural. Doorposts. The basic definition of mezuzos plural is what? Two doorposts. Therefore, you don't need to say shtei mezuzos. Why do you say shtei mezuzos? Matam lomar shtei. Zeh bonav. But say this creates a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Komakom shneimar mezuzos. To teach me there, both say that actually mezuzos, when written in the Torah, means one. Unless, of course, when? Or unless, of course, if the Torah says two. So both say the fact that the Torah needs to say shtei mezuzos tells me that only when it says shtei do we assume that mezuzos, even though it's written in a plural form, means two. Otherwise, it means one. Therefore, by mezuzah, Rabbosu, when it says uksaftim al mezuzos beisecha, the Gemara is suggesting even if there's only one formal doorpost, the doorway will still require a mezuzah. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say so again. The Gemara goes like this. So, interestingly enough, we begin to see a really very interesting machlokes, ultimately, again, regarding whether or not you need two formal doorposts. So we'll say, and the way we paskin is, so the halacha is, you don't need two formal doorposts. You need two actual, meaning you need a tzuras ha-pesach, you need a doorway. But even if one of those doorways is flush against the side of the room, or even if one of those doorposts is flush against the side of the room or flush against the side of a home, halacha l'maaseh still requires a mezuzah. Even though it doesn't have what the Gemara calls a more formal doorpost, which is thicker than just the simple threshold of the door, you'll still require a mezuzah. Ten Rabbanan. Uksavtam. Supposed to say the pasuk says you shall write it. Yochol yichtavena al ha'avonim. Supposed to say, it's actually very interesting. The pasuk says, uksavtam al mezuzos beisecho visharecho. You shall write it on the doorpost. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that maybe that should be understood literally. Yochol yichtavena al ha'avonim. I might have thought that maybe I have to write the mezuzah actually on the stones of my doorway. In other words, maybe, it's a good half of me, no? Maybe except the mezuzah, I literally have to write the parasha, ultimately, again, on the actual structure, to which the Gemara says, Ne'emar kan ksiva, v'ne'emar l'halon ksiva. It says over here, writing, and it says over there, writing. I will say, now what's the over here is mezuzah. What's the over there? So the pasuk is, the kas of la, sefer krisos, by get. By divorce document, ma lahalon idea sefer, just like a get is written on a piece of parchment, afkan al ha sefer, so too again a mezuzah is written on a piece of parchment as well, not directly on the stones. So the Gemara says, afkan sefer, okay lech lederzu, or perhaps you want to make the drush a little bit differently. Ne'emar kan ksiva, ve'ne'emar lahalon ksiva. Both listen to this. It says writing over here, by mezuzah, and it says writing over there. Now, what's the over there? I will say, uksafta al ha'avonim. So, I will say, interestingly enough, this is Torah when Klal Yisrael enters into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the obligation to write the Torah on stones. And those stones are to be positioned in Gilgal, immediately again upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. So, I will say, there, the writing was done directly on the stones. So, just like uksafta by Moshe Rabbeinu means, you have to write it on the stones. Maybe by mezuzah, it means you have to write it on the stones of the doorway as well. Afkan al avonim, to which the Gemara says, Nira lemi dome. So we'll say, so now, what we're stuck with over here, not stuck with, but the intriguing issue is like this. Do we compare the writing of the mezuzah to the writing of a get? Just as a get, ultimately, again, is done on a piece of parchment, so too mezuzah is done on a piece of parchment, or do we compare the writing of the mezuzah to the writing of the stones that were written by Klal Yisrael upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. Just like those were written on the stones, so too again, mezuzah is written on the stones, the entranceway of the doorway. That's the fundamental shayla, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. The Gemara says, Ma la halana fine, nira lemi dome. So let's see, to which is mezuzah more comparable? Donin ksiva hanohages ledoros, mi ksiva hanohages ledoros, ve'in donin ksiva hanohages ledoros, mi ksiva she'en hanohages ledoros. Well, so here's the difference. Mezuzah is an eternal writing. So we want to compare mezuzah to something else which is an eternal writing. The stones that Klal Yisrael wrote when they came into Eretz Yisrael was a one-time event. Get is not a one-time event. Therefore, when comparing the ksiva of mezuzah to something, just like mezuzah is an ongoing concept, we want to compare it to another type of writing which is ongoing. Therefore, we choose to compare it to get and not to compare it to the stones upon which Klal Yisrael wrote the Torah when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Kumo shenemar lahalon, fayomer lan baruch mipiv yikare Elias advarim ha'ila, v'ani kosef al ha'sefer bidiyo. So we'll say over here, Baruch, we spoke about him last week, who was described the sofer of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So he says, ultimately, Yirmiyahu HaNavi dictates things to me, v'ani kosef, and I write it, al ha'sefer ubidiyo. So we'll say this is an example from Navi, that when you speak about ksiva, when you speak about writing, what is writing done with? Writing is done on a piece of parchment with ink. So too, mezuzah is not written on the stones of the home directly, rather it's written on parchment with ink. So the Gemara says as follows, Amar le'i ravacha b'rei d'rava l'ravashi, Rachmana amar al mezuzos, v'at omeres ne'lev ksiva ksiva. So I don't understand. So Rav says, ravacha b'rei d'rava says ravashi, but still, you're not, he's taking a more literal interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk says al mezuzos. I mean, the Pasuk, you don't think about it this way because we're used to fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah, we fulfill it. But if you think about it, the Pasuk itself does seem to be pretty explicit, namely, that you should write the mezuzah on the actual walls of the home. So why are you choosing to focus on ksiva and not on mezuzos? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, ksav tam, ksiva tama, vahadra ala mezuzos. Because it will say the Pasuk chooses to you, Pasuk could have just said, the kasav al mezuzos beisecha. It says uksav tam. What does uksav tam mean? Ksiva tama. What's ksiva tama? A complete or self-contained writing, which the Gemara is which Gemara understands to mean the type of writing that's done with ink on a piece of parchment. So first it says uksav tam, and then only afterwards. And then only afterwards does he use lashon of ala mezuzos. If you look at Rashi, it's the last of the short lines in Rashi. Uksiva tama, ve'in ksiva tama ala itzim va'avonim ala sefer. A complete writing is only one done on a piece of parchment with ink, not done on wood or on stones. If that's the case, so then Rabbi say all I need is uksav tam. Why do I need the gzeir shava ultimately again? To get, to which the Gemara says, "Ilav gzeir shava hava mina lichtevei afna velikba'a asefa." This is actually very interesting, because without the gzeir shava of ksiva ksiva, that just like get is written on a piece of parchment with ink, so too mezuzah is written on a piece of parchment with ink. I would have thought, how do you write a mezuzah? You write it on a stone, but then what do you do with that stone? You affix it to the doorway. So, in other words, Ksiva Tama teaches me that Allah Chalamaisa, I don't write directly on the doorway. But I would have still thought that where do you write? On a stone, and affix the stone to the doorway. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Ukisav Tom, to teach me what? Gzeira Shava, Ksiva, Ksiva. From mezuzah to get, just as get is written on a piece of parchment with ink, so to mezuzah is written on a piece of parchment with ink. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. Arba parashah shabbat tefillin ma'akvo zuazu. Vafilu kasav echem achem. So now we're transitioning from mezuzah to tefillin. So when it came to tefillin, what did the Torah say? There are four sections of the Torah that are written in tefillin. We're actually going to discuss them today. They are ma'akvos zuazu. We'll say if you're missing any one of them, ultimately, again, I've compromised the mitzvah of tefillin. Not only that, but even if the tefillin are missing one letter, the tefillin become a puzzle. So Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Amrav Yudom Rav, lo nitzrocha ala lakotzol shal yud. So I'll say this goes back to what we discussed, I think it was already last week, or maybe last Shabbos, about the kotz sharabenu tam. Right? Ultimately, again, the little shmishik that extends above the yud, machlokis rashi in rabenu tam, whether or not the absence of that kotz, the absence of that little piece that extends upwards. So the Gemara says, in the tefillin shal yad, even if you're missing the little piece that extends up from the yud, the tefillin will be possible. I have a hanami pshita. didn't we learn that already? There's another issue. To teach me the halacha of Rav Yehuda and Rav. Rav Yehuda and Rav said, any letter that is not surrounded by parchment on all sides is pasul. Which also says another way of saying that what? If any two letters are what? Touching each other, ultimately, again, that will invalidate the tefillin. So number one, we've learned two halachos. If it's missing the little shmishik that comes up from the top of the yud, tefillin are pasul. If any two letters are touching each other, tefillin are pasul. Amud Beis, Tan Rabbanan. Lito tafos. Harikan dalad. So let's listen to this. Torah writes the word totafos three times. If you'll notice, the first two times are written without a vav, chaser. The second time is written with a vav. The Gemara understands that every time it's written without a vav, it represents one. Totafos means a sign, right? It means one. When it's written with a vav, it means two, which effectively means that we have four mentionings of the word totafos. What is that a remes? To Hare Kandala, that's four. What is four a scriptural allusion to? To the four parshios, ultimately, again, that go into the tefillin. Four parshios that go into the tefillin, ultimately, again, are hinted to in the four totafos. Rabbi Akiva Omer Inot Tzarech. Rabbi Akiva says you don't even need that drasha. Why not? Tat Bekaspi Shtayim, Pat Ba'afriki Shtayim. Rabbi Akiva actually understands what was said. The word totafos is not of Hebraic origin. It's not a Hebrew word. He says totafos actually is a contraction of two foreign words, tat and pas. Tat in the Kaspi language means two. Pat in the Afriki language means two. Two and two is four. Hence the scriptural allusion to the idea that Tulin has four parshios. Tan Rabbanan. Yochol yichtaveim al dalet oros v'yanichem medalet batim. So I'll say, I might have thought, Yochol yichtaveim al dalet oros v'yanichem medalet batim bedalet oros. So I'll say, listen to this. So I would have thought that what that halacha l'maisa, I could write the four parshios on four pieces of parchment and insert them ultimately again into the batim, and keep the parchments attached. Now I will say, now what's happening over here is as follows. Let's say this differently. So I might have thought that ultimately again I could go ahead and write the four parshios on one piece of parchment. And look at Rashi for just a moment. Bedalit batim ba'or echad. No, I'm sorry. Dalit oros, excuse me. The case over here is, look at Rashi. Dalit chatichos klaf, v'anichena bedalit batim shal dalit chatichos klaf. I might have thought, Rosai, that I would go in and write the four parshios. Now this is talking about over here the shal rosh, which is made of four different compartments. I might have thought that the shal rosh should be made of four different pieces of parchment as well, to which the Gemara says, Tamad lomar ulezikaron bein einecha. Zikaron echad amarti lecha for those beis v'gimel zikronos. Therefore, Moshe, the pasuk says, it shall be as a remembrance between your eyes. Remembrance is singular. To teach you what? That the shal rosh has to be made from one piece of leather and not from multiple pieces of leather. So Moshe, even though the shal rosh has four different compartments, those four compartments are fashioned from one piece of leather and cannot be fashioned from multiple pieces of leather. Okay, so suppose they say, how do I do this? So the Gemara says, Kosvan adalet oros, umanichan bedalet batim bar echad. The parshios themselves are written on four different pieces of parchment, four separate pieces of parchment, but are put into a bias which is fashioned into four different compartments, but what? From one piece of leather. From one piece of leather. So the Gemara says, Bar, you mean Kosvan Bo'or Echad, Venichan Bedalit Batim, Yatsa. What's actually interesting? If you wrote the four parshios on one piece of cloth, and you went ahead and you put it in four different compartments, you're Yotze. Vitzarach Shei Revach Benen Divi Rebbe. Supposed to listen to this. So what it's saying over here is as follows. It's actually an interesting case. If you were to take, so the shel rosh, we've now established as four different compartments made from one piece of leather. What if you did the following? You wrote the four parashios of Shema. We're going to discuss what the four parashios are. Now what you did was, you wrote it on one piece of cloth. You left space between each of the parashios. What do? You cut in between each of the parashios, but they're all connected by a piece of cloth on the bottom. So what you do is, you take the piece of cloth on the bottom, you slide each of the parashios into their respective section, but technically speaking, they are all connected at the bottom. So the Gemara suggests that ultimately, again, you're Yotzei like that. In other words, even though they're connected at the bottom, ultimately, again, they are still considered to be separate parshios, because they're each in their own compartment. However, v'tzarech shiyehe revach b'neihem. But ultimately, again, it is important, halacha l'maisa, that there be a space in between the four compartments of the tefillin. Divrei Rebbe. The Chum say no, there need not be a space. The Shavin shenosin chut o meshicha bein kol achos va'achos. And they agree, they both agree, and we're going to discuss what this means in just a moment, that you have to put, bless you, some type of string or some type of separation between each of the bat. In other words, we'll both say, as we're going to see what this ultimately refers to, is that the batin, the actual, not the batin, because the bias refers to the entire thing, the sections of the shel rosh must be discernible one from the other. V'im ein charitzin nigar, we'll say, here's what it leads to. If the grooves, if you'll notice again, at the shel rosh, when you look at it from the outside, it has grooves. Those grooves ultimately show the separation between each of the sections of the shel rosh. The Gemara says, im ein charitzin nigar, if the separation in the sections of the shel rosh is not recognizable, psulos, then the shel rosh is pasul. Which Shavuot says is an incredible idea. So what it's saying over here is as follows. Even if the shel rosh is four separate sections on the inside, but those sections are not recognizable from the outside, the shel rosh is pasul. Tan Rabbana. So the Gemara says as follows. Ketzad kosvan tefila shel yad. How do you write? So we'll say that's Tzilin Shel Rosh. So Tzilin Shel Rosh, now we understand what? Four different sections made out of what? One piece of leather. And the grooves, which show the four different sections, have to be discernible from the outside of the Shel Rosh. What about Shel Yad? Kizad Kosin Shel Yad, Tkosva Al Or Echad. So we'll say the halacha is, for the Tzilin Shel Yad, you write all of the parshios on one piece of parchment. So I said, because again, remember, the Tzilin Shel Yad, unlike the Tzilin Shel Rosh, which is four separate sections, the Tzilin Shel Yad is one section, one compartment. Therefore, all the parshios are written on one piece of parchment. V'imkasa ba'arba oros, v'nicha ba'yisechad, if you happen to write it on four different pieces of parchment, right? Then you put it all in one section, ultimately, and you put it all within the bias of the Shel Yad, Yotza, ultimately, again, you are Yotzei. V'tzarech ledabek. However, again, you would have to tie them all together. Right? In other words, so technically speaking, although you're supposed to write all four parshios of the Shel Yad on one piece of parchment, if you wrote it on four different pieces of parchment, technically you're Yotzei, but they have to all be tied together. Shine emar, v'haya lecha la'os al yadcha. Pasuk says it shall be as an os on your hand, or on your arm. Kashim sha'os echan mibachutz, the same way that ultimately, again, it is one os from the outside, which Rabosei means that the bias itself is one cohesive bias. There are no sections on the outside. Kach os echad mibifnim. So too it has to be one os on the inside as well. In other words, the parshios have to be together. So ideally we want them all written on one cloth, but if you wrote them on different parchments, you would tie them all together. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately again, this is not necessary. Rashi says, ledabek. According to Rabbi Yossi, if you ended up writing them on four different pieces of parchment, it's fine, and you don't even have to tie them all together. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Umodili Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with me as follows. It's actually an interesting case. Shim Einlo Tfilin Shel Yad. Both listen to this case. Let's say a person doesn't have Tfilin Shel Yad. What does he have? V'yesh lo shtei tefillin shel rosh. An interesting case here. I don't have a tefillin shel yad, but I happen to have two tefillin shel rosh. Shetola or shel achas mehen. Umanicha. So let's listen to this. So what do? Essentially, you take one of the shel roshes and you transform it into a shel yad. How do you transform a shal rosh into a shal yad? You take a piece of leather and you tie it, or you really wrap it on the outside of the shal rosh. Effectively, what are you doing? You're transforming the four compartments of the shal rosh into what? Into one compartment, so to speak. I will say, now what's Rabbi Yossi's logic? Rabbi Yossi is the one who just said before that what? That halacha lemaisa, everyone agrees, lechatchila, how do you write the parashas of the shal yad? How do you write the parashas of shal yad? Four on one piece of parchment. What if you wrote four on four pieces of parchment? Chacham say you have to tie them together. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't. So therefore, technically speaking, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you have a shal rosh that you have to transform into a shal yad, the only thing you really need to do is what? You have to get rid of the external grooves, because the shal yad has to look like one cohesive bias, as opposed to the shal rosh, which is has to be four discernible sections. So how do you get rid of the four grooves? So Rabbi Yossi says, very simple. Take a piece of leather, and a piece of hide, and put it on top of the shal rosh. What about the four parshios on the inside? Rabbi Yossi says what? That's okay. It's not lechatchila, but this is what you got. You make the best of it. Umanicho. I'm sorry. Shetolot or achas mehen umanicho. So the Gemara says, Moda haimu plutayu. What do you mean? That the Chum would agree about? So what do you mean Rabbi Huda would agree? This is the source of the machlokas. So Rabbi Huda holds that you can't have four separate parshios in the shal yad itself. Sadly, Rabbi Huda would agree. So Gemara says, Amar Rava midrav Rabbi Yossi chazav Rabbi Huda. So what Rava says, ultimately again, from the words of Rabbi Huda, from Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda ultimately again retracted his original position, and Rabbi Huda holds that halacha lemaisa, as much as lechatchila, within the shal yad, the four sections should be written on one piece of parchment, and if they're written on four pieces of parchment, they should be tied together. Rabbi Huda came around to Rabbi Yossi's opinion and said, "B'dieved, even if they're not tied together, ultimately again it's kosher." That's why he would subscribe to this idea that if all you have is two shal roshes, you actually have the ability to transform a shal rosh into a shal yad. Very interesting. Ini, is that true? V'ashalach Rabbi Chananya mishmid Rabbi Yochanan tefillah shal yad osin osa shal rosh. So we'll say you could take a tefillah shal yad and you can make it into a shal rosh. V'shal rosh ein osa osa shal yad. But I will say you can't. So again, the Gemara quotes over here, Rabbi Chananya and Rabbi Yochanan. You could take a tefillin shal yad and you could transform it into a tefillin shal rosh. But you can't go ahead and take a shal rosh and transform it into a tefillin shal yad. Why? Lefi she'ein moridin mikdusha chamura likdusha kala. We'll say for a very interesting reason. Because you can't go ahead and take something that has a higher level of sanctity and go ahead and transfer it for use for a lower level of sanctity. There's an assumption that the tefillin shal rosh has a higher level of sanctity. Why? For the simple reason that it's on the head. Right? For the simple reason that it's on the rosh and not on the arm. So therefore you can't go ahead and take the tefillin shal rosh and repurpose it as a tefillin shal yad, but you can take a tefillin shal yad and repurpose it ultimately again as a tefillin shal rosh. So the Gemara says, Lo kasher, Shavuos, you know what to do. We'll have to stop. I'm leaving you a little bit of a cliffhanger. We'll have to stop over here. Emirat Hashem, we will pick up with this sugya of repurposing the tefillin. Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.